Well, good morning, Grace Chapel. I hope you've been encouraged as you have been able to listen and worship this morning in song, as we have really sung a number of songs that have described our relationship with God and invited Him as well to be a part of our lives in a way that's transforming. I hope that has been encouraging to you this morning. We're going to continue on in a series today, a series called What He Said, as we look at the words of Jesus, these life-giving words, these truly transformative words of Jesus that really speak into many times our current situation. And that's been the design of this series, to say, yeah, there's a lot of craziness going on, but Jesus' words speak just this incredible life into whatever we're facing, no matter when we happen to be facing it. Well, about a year and a half ago, my parents came up to our place here in Atlanta from Panama City, and they were evacuating Panama City because there was a large hurricane bearing down on Panama City. You're probably familiar with that storm. I'm sure you saw it in the news, a hurricane called Hurricane Michael. And this was just an absolutely powerful and catastrophic storm. Came on shore as a Category 5 with 155 mile an hour plus winds. And my parents happened to be right on the western, my parents' house happened to be right on the western side of the eye wall of that storm as it came ashore. Well, my parents came up here, and the day after the storm, my dad was pretty concerned because we'd seen how bad things were, seen some footage of the area, had people describe to us the way things looked. And so my dad was pretty concerned about their house. And so we decided that we would load into my car and drive down to Panama City to go try to see things for ourselves, and also see, was there anything we could do, because we knew they were without power, they were going to be without power for quite some time. Was there anything we could do to make sure that their house didn't sustain more damage, especially maybe by covering the roof with some tarps? And so we went down there, and that was our intention, to see what could be. As we got closer and closer to Panama City, it was wild. I mean, I can barely describe to you the visions that we saw, or the things that we saw, and the way we felt as we saw what we witnessed, the destruction as we got closer and closer and closer, the way that the nature of that destruction and the scope of that destruction, the intensity of it, increased the closer we got to Panama City. And so, of course, by the time we're getting close to their house, and we're starting to see entire houses destroyed in places, houses completely blown or swept off of their foundations, in other cases, foundations seemingly even gone because of maybe the wind and the rain and everything that came along with that storm. And so we're starting to become more and more concerned about what we're going to see when we come finally to their neighborhood and we can see their house. And I remember making that left turn onto their street, into their neighborhood, and seeing all these trees just fallen down, many of them laying across houses. And I remember that feeling so clearly, as if it was almost yesterday, looking down their street and thinking, oh no, this is not going to be good. And so I remember saying a prayer in that moment, God, please have spared their house. Another part of the story, my parents had just moved to Panama City 3 months. It was 3 months to the day before that storm hit that they had moved to Panama City. And so as we drive down and their house comes into view, it was wild to see that many of the houses around their house had been very severely damaged. Their house had taken damage, but not severe damage. And so what a true blessing that was. But as we spent that next day kind of buttoning up their house, because they were going to be gone for 6 months to, or 6 weeks to 2 months, as we spent that time buttoning up the house, and then we got ready to leave Panama City, we drove around and we witnessed some more of the damage. And it just was amazing to see the kind of catastrophic damage that a storm can cause. You know, when we think about life, we often talk about life in similar terms. You know, when we look at the damage that the storms of life can cause, that's very real as well. In fact, we're not the ones to pioneer even that saying or that idea that storms come in life, and that those storms that come in life, depending on the stability of our structure, and certainly, as we'll see just in a minute, even more the soundness of our foundation, depending upon the quality of our foundation, the soundness of our structure, that will determine how we weather those storms of life. So before we jump into the text this morning, I want to pray, because I believe these words of Jesus have an awful lot for us, things that we need to hear, that you and I need to absorb, and we need to, maybe some of us, do a gut check And maybe some of us will just have some questions that we need to take time to answer. But arriving at the answer, what does my foundation look like this morning? Being able to answer that question by the time we're done will be incredibly important. So let's pray before we jump into the text. Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. We know that anytime Jesus opened his mouth, he was speaking your words to us. They were words of life. They're words of hope. They're also words, Father, that cause us to step back and evaluate all we're living for. And maybe even the goal and the focus and the purpose of our life. Father, we thank you that Jesus was willing to speak the hard truths when we needed to hear them, but was also willing to give us those truths that just lift us up when we listen to them and absorb them as well. And so this morning, as we listen to one of those deep truths, Father, will you allow it through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the working of your Holy Spirit, will you allow us to take in those words? And may they change us, challenge us, and transform us. I ask this in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, if you have your Bible, you can open up to Matthew chapter 7. The words will be on the screen here behind me, and so you can follow along that way as well. But we'll be in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. And before we go there, let me just set the stage for real quick what has happened again. We've talked about the Sermon on the Mount on numerous occasions. Jesus is wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount, and this is kind of the climax of everything he said. He's gone through a section that we often refer to as the Beatitudes. He's taught on being truthful. He's taught on loving others and knowing that even if we hate somebody, it's almost like committing murder. I mean, he's gone through all these different teachings, powerful teachings, radical teachings almost in a way as well, about what it looks like to live life in his kingdom. If we're citizens of his kingdom, this is what life will look like. And so as he arrives at these words, he begins with the word therefore. And he says therefore because he's taking everything that he's just touched on. He's saying, okay, now therefore, all these things that I've said, anyone who hears these words of mine. So if you hear these words of his, all that he said, all of his teachings in these last several chapters, if you hear these words of mine and put them into practice, everyone who hears them and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So Jesus says, my teachings, my words, everything that I come to show you, this is solid ground. This is a firm foundation. In fact, Jesus goes on to say this. He says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Okay, so again, there's this rock. We hear what Jesus says. We're building upon that rock, that foundation. In other words, our lives are being built. The structure of our lives are being built on something. If we're wise, we built upon all that Jesus brings and teaches us and shares with us and the hope that he brings. We build on that. And when the rain comes and the streams rise and the winds blow, they beat against that house. It says, yet that house did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So the house was built on something solid. Therefore, when the storm came, it was able to stand. Now, Jesus goes on also to say that there are those who don't listen and are not going to listen. And even today, there are many who don't listen to what Jesus has said. And so he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. So you've got the rock and you've got sand. Sands are shifting. Sands are not steady, not a good place to build. And so he says, this is what happens in that case. He says, then the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus makes this a dramatic moment and a traumatic moment as well. The house came down with a great crash. It's, you know, it's the bigger they are, the harder they fall kind of thing. So apparently there was a big house built on very unsteady, shaky ground. And when that same storm came, that house came crashing down. I want you to see, again, the storm that came against the house built upon the foundation of the rock and the storm that came against the foundation that was built upon sand was the same storm. But there are two very different outcomes to what takes place. And so I think what Jesus is doing is he's sharing, one, the gravity of living by what he's taught. He's sharing the importance of really leaning fully into these words of his that he speaks. He's leaning fully into trying to get us to embrace this new kind of lifestyle that He has for us. This new hope, this new worldview. Again, this is foundational, right? And the pun there is obviously intended. This is foundational to living life in the kingdom as Jesus presents it. So Jesus presents the good news first and the bad news second. I want to take this and flip it. So we're going to talk about the bad news first. The reality is this: Jesus does want to give us a caution, a strong word of caution. And the word of caution is this: if you build your life on anything other than Jesus Christ, the storms of life will cause all you have built to come crashing down. And that is the reality. And it's a sobering reality. When we take into view this truth that if we're building our foundation on anything, and I do mean that, anything other than Jesus Christ, when the storms of life come, it will cause all you have built to come crashing down. And there are so many ways that this finds application. We'll make application in the next several minutes. Right now, we're just going to leave that as it stands. Again, here's the statement one more time. If you build your life on anything other than Jesus Christ, the storms of life will cause all you have built to come crashing down. That is a promise. And it's not a happy promise. It's a sobering promise, a very sobering word of Jesus. But thank God, Jesus gives us the truth, even the difficult truths. He gives us the very exciting and the very happy truths, the joyful truths, the hopeful truths, but He also gives us the difficult truths. Now on to the hopeful truth. Again, the good news here and why these words are so truly life-giving is again, that there is good news here for those who listen to what Jesus says, for those who take Him seriously, for those who say, yes, my foundation is You, Jesus. I will build upon You, Your words, Your teachings, Your worldview. I will change my worldview, my paradigm, so that it fits Yours. Again, that's Houston talked about repentance a couple of weeks ago. That's what repentance is about, saying, I've been doing it my way, but my way is shaky ground. Jesus, Your way is a solid foundation, so I'm going to change my mind to do everything You ask me to do from here on forward. So here's the good news. If you build your life on Jesus Christ, listen to this. This comes straight from the text. If you have built your life upon Jesus Christ, if you build your life upon Jesus, if He's your foundation, no matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how much it rains or how high the stream rises, what you have built will stand. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The foundation that you build upon is also going to change the kind of structure that you build. That much is true as well. But again, if you build your life on Jesus Christ, no matter how hard the wind blows, or how much it rains, or how high the stream rises, what you have built will stand. Those are incredibly encouraging words for those of us who are building our life upon Jesus, especially in uncertain times, especially when the storms of life come. And right now, we're in the midst of a storm of life. There's no doubt about that. There are several storms of life that are kind of crashing upon us right now in this very moment. But the reassurance is for those of us who have built our life on the foundation of Jesus, for those of us who build our lives on this solid and firm foundation, what we have built will last. Well, here's another truth that we find out in this text, and you have to kind of read in between the lines to pick this one out, but it's also a very important and poignant truth, and here it is. It's that foundations aren't tested until the storms come along. You know, when it's sunny outside and when the winds are calm, when everything's green and the sky is blue, it's not in those moments that foundations are tested. It's not until storms come along. And remember, Jesus is not talking about a real foundation. Now, He is, in a sense, He's using an illustration from what we can see in this very true physical reality, but He's bringing spiritual truths into this. So He's talking about a spiritual foundation. He's talking about spiritual storms, and He's talking about a spiritual structure that we build. And so the reality is that the foundation He's talking about is Himself. It's His teachings. It's who He is. We build our lives on Jesus Himself. That structure then that stands on that is, it's my life. It's your life. It's the lives that we're building. And the question is my life going to come crashing down because it's not built on the right foundation and the right structure, or is it going to stand because it's built on Jesus? And the storms, you know, we can make that one easy. It's the storms of life. It's when life gets crazy. When life gets crazy, like it is right now in many ways, when life gets crazy, that's when foundations, even our spiritual foundations, our emotional foundations, our mental foundation, all of that stuff, that's when foundations are tested. So foundations aren't tested until the storms come along. I think about one who we have in a great example to us in this of foundations being tested is a guy named the Apostle Paul, who gave his life to Jesus on the Damascus Road. He had this incredible conversion, spent the next several years kind of being prepared for the ministry that he would take on. And there have been some incredible things that happened in those several years, because Paul becomes this incredibly changed person, one who'd been persecuting Christians to now one who says, I'll be persecuted for the sake of Christ. An incredible transformation. His foundation changed. He had had one foundation that he'd been building upon. He realized that everything he'd built could come crashing down. Now he started to build upon the foundation that was Jesus Christ. And here's Paul now at the end of his life, as he's addressing the Philippian church, in the midst of truly a storm. He's not sure if he's going to live or die. In fact, he's pretty certain he's probably not going to live at this point. He's writing from a prison cell. He knows he's awaiting trial. Things are not looking good in Paul's life. In many ways, he's in the middle of a storm. I mean, right in the middle of a storm that's crashing down around him. And in the middle of that storm, Paul is able to write these words to the Philippian church. He's able to say, again, because he knows his foundation is solid. He knows he doesn't in the end have anything to really truly worry about. He knows his foundation is solid. So he says, for me to live is Christ. If I go on living, that's Christ. That's Christ. It's living out the mission of Jesus. It's the solid foundation that is Jesus. In fact, he's saying, my life is Christ. The foundation for my life is Christ. Everything I do is Christ. Everything I've built upon that foundation revolves around Jesus. And I know that's not going to come crashing down. So if I continue to live, it's all about Jesus. And then Paul says, even if my life is taken from me, to die is gain. I know what's awaiting me. The incredible hope and promise that I have in Jesus is what is awaiting me. And so Paul is able to say in the middle of the storm, I've got peace and I am calm no matter what is happening around me, because I know that I built my life on Jesus Christ. And what I have built will not come crashing down, no matter the severity and intensity of the storm. It will not come crashing down, because I have built what I have built upon Jesus. And so Paul is not panicking in the middle of the storm. Paul is not fearful in the middle of the storm. Paul is at peace in the middle of the storm. And can you imagine the kind of calm that these words must have imparted to the Philippian Christians, who were going to experience persecution of their own, who many of them might find them in the same place that Paul found himself in prison and convicted of not living life for the emperor, but living life for the one true King, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that the calm that must have imparted to them to hear these words, for me to live is Christ. My foundation is Jesus, and that is solid. And there's nothing, no storm of life that can knock down what I've built upon that foundation. And even if I lose my life, for me to die is gain, and my foundation is still solid. And the reality is that everything I've built in this life, Paul is saying in a sense, will carry on into the next life. So in a sense, what kind of foundations are not solid? Well, any foundation that we build upon that is something we can't carry into the next life is not a solid foundation to build our lives upon, whether that be health or wealth or anything else that we could try to build upon in this life. It is not a solid foundation because it doesn't carry into the next. Everything we build upon Jesus will carry into the next life, the hope and the promise of the future that Jesus has secured for us. So, I want to take a turn real quick, and I want to try to make some application to our current situation if I can. And before we do, I'm going to kind of share a story that I think will kind of bridge the gap between what we've been looking at and what I want to point you to here in these last couple of minutes. A number of years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, Lori and I, we moved to Florida. I moved back to Florida, and I had some really good friends who were living down there at the time. We had some things that we had in common. We loved to fish. We loved to be on the water. And so a buddy that I had a guy who had become friends with at the church in Florida had several boats, and he had one little John boat that he said, hey, you can borrow this until maybe you find yourself in a larger boat. And so I invited my two buddies to come over. It was a 12-foot John boat. It had about a 9 or 10 horsepower motor on it. And we had been fishing in the pass and trying to catch these large sharks in the pass, and we couldn't get them to shore because it was just too difficult. We were fighting against the current, and so we decided finally one evening we're going to take this John boat out, and maybe we'd have better success actually being on the water. And we thought maybe, you know, again, we just thought it was going to be a good idea. It was going to work out well. And so we went out. It was kind of late afternoon. We're going out into the pass. It was flat calm in the bay at the ramp, at the boat ramp where we'd put in. We're going out of the pass, and it kind of got choppy in the pass. And as we're moving forward, I'm getting a little bit nervous because I'm noticing that there are some pretty good swells coming in off the Gulf into the pass. And again, here we are in a 12-foot John boat, three grown men maxing out the weight of what that boat can hold as well. And so this is not really a great situation. And so we go a little further out into the pass, and I'm starting to look at the waves. The other guys are looking at the waves, and we're determining maybe this was not the brightest of ideas. And so right about the time that we're determining we need to turn around, one of those swells was bigger than what the boat could handle, and water came into the boat. I mean, over the side of the boat and into the boat. And again, remember, we're already kind of maxing out the weight of what that boat could hold. And so immediately we actually do start to sink. I mean, it was going to be maybe a fairly slow process of sinking, but we started to sink. And the two guys who were in front of me start to panic. Now, I was panicking as well. I didn't show it as much maybe in that moment, but I was panicking as well. I knew we were in trouble. We were going to sink, and we were also, again, remember, the boat's not mine. It didn't belong to me. And so real quickly, I turn around, and I start heading as fast as I can back inside the bay, but it became pretty evident I wasn't going to make it into the bay. You know, we had to figure something out pretty quick. Now, of course, the two guys that were in the boat with me start shouting ideas at me. They start sharing their opinions with me as quickly as they can and as loudly as they can. And it happened to be they're advocating for different things. In fact, one of them was actually just advocating, we just need to abandon ship and jump over. It's a lost cause. But, you know, fortunately, I was able to tune them out, and I found a piece of land on shore that looked like it was the closest piece of land to us. And I gave it everything I had with that motor. As we went, we just made it to the shore before the back end of the boat started to sink. And you know, had it been another couple of seconds, we would have sunk that boat. Again, remembering the boat wasn't mine. But what became evident to me in that situation is this, and this is something that I think is true in many, many situations. When there's panic, when you're in a moment of panic, like you're in a moment of crisis and there's panic, there's going to be no shortage of loud opinions about what needs to be done to avert the crisis. All three of us in that boat, in that sinking boat, that little sinking ship, we all had our ideas about what needed to be done to avert the crisis. And the two guys in the boat with me, since I was at the controls, they were bound and determined they were going to share every possible opinion and idea that they had with me about how we should avert that crisis in that moment. I think that has application, like I said, for our current situation as well. There are a lot of different ideas about what needs to happen right now in this moment. And probably the two biggest camps are, you know, camps that you know, one camp says, we can't go outside because if we go outside, everything's going to come crashing down. We're all going to catch the virus. And who knows what's going to happen then? And it's going to be a terrible, terrible outcome. And there's probably some truth in that. And on the other side, you have people saying, no, we have to go out. If we don't go out right now, if we don't get the economy started right away, you know, then everything's going to come crashing down and everything's going to be terrible. And there's probably some truth to that as well. And so maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle. But the reality is we're in a place where there are a lot of opinions being shouted very loudly in this moment of crisis. And I want you to hear this from me. I think a lot of those opinions, and again, we all have opinions, but a lot of the sources of those opinions, those loud opinions, are maybe people who have not built their foundation upon Jesus. And I'm not saying if you're sharing an opinion like that, that you haven't built your foundation. I'm saying the origination of those ideas maybe comes from people who have not built their foundation upon Jesus. And so, yes, it looks like everything's crashing down. It looks like the structure is not sound. Whether it's health, if the foundation of your life is your health, and you see something like this that's a threat, and maybe even if you were to catch this virus, if the foundation of your life is your health, remember, you can't take that to the next life, the life of promise, you can't take that with you. And so, I don't know, if your foundation for life, for living, is your health, that will come crashing down one day. The same thing on the other side, though. If the foundation of your life is wealth, Well, we can't take that to the next life either. It is not something that we build upon. And we can't build a structure upon that foundation that we will carry with us into the next life. And so if your foundation for living is wealth, well, that's going to come crashing down as well. And we see that evident in this current time of crisis. And it's just a call for all of us back to building our lives, the structure of our lives, upon the solid and firm foundation that is Jesus Christ. And in that, we won't panic. We'll have peace instead. We'll be just like the Apostle Paul, who was able to say, look, for me, if I go on living, that's Christ. It's Jesus. Because everything I've built is Jesus, and everything I've built upon is Jesus. And so if I go on living, it's Jesus. And even if I lose my life, that's still Jesus. And in the end, that's gain for me. Because it's all built upon the foundation of Jesus. Remember, Paul was able to be at peace in the middle of the storm. And he was able to impart that peace to others. Let me just say again, by way of application, I think right now, Christ followers, this is a time for us to be people of peace. If we're at peace in this moment, this is a time for us to be imparting peace to others who may be at a place where they are absolutely panicked about what's going to happen. It's not a time for us to feed into the panic. And I know I've got my opinion, you've got your opinion, that's great. But maybe this is a time for us to put our opinions to the side so that we can speak peace just for a bit. Remember, Jesus began this passage of Scripture by saying, look, anyone who listens to these words of me, listen to these words of mine and puts them into practice, they're like a wise man. Let me point you just real quickly to some words that Jesus would be specifically referencing. Just a few chapters earlier, but for Jesus that was in the same sermon, Jesus said these words, blessed are the peacemakers, not the panic makers, not the ones who feed into the crisis and the concern. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So what does it mean to be a child of God? It means to be a peacemaker. In Psalm 34, these words are amplified as the psalmist says this. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So whether it's on social media or whether it's in conversations with neighbors, could we be peacemakers in this moment? Not ones who feed into the panic or who pour ourselves into one opinion or the other and who actually divide people. And in reality, I've actually witnessed this on social media in the last few days. I've seen those who follow Jesus feed into division between Christ followers. And it's not good. It's not what we're called to do in this moment. In fact, I think what we're called to do is this, and this is what I want to leave you with. Again, remember, this is all about building our lives upon the solid foundation of Jesus. And if you have done that, you'll be a person at peace in the middle of the storm because your foundation isn't built upon your health or your wealth or anything else. It's built upon Jesus. Your life is built upon the foundation, the solid rock of Jesus. So if you are a person at peace, because the foundation of all you have built is Jesus. So if you are at peace, be a person of peace because of Jesus as well. And that has application for every conversation we have in the midst of this crisis, this midst of this crisis time. If you're at peace because your foundation is Jesus, be a person of peace as well. Again, as I said, this was going to be a message where for some of us, we're going to have some questions that we're going to have to answer. For others, it's going to take a real gut check to say, okay, is my foundation for life, is it really Jesus? Because if it is Jesus, that changes things. And then again, remember the promise, such an awesome promise, is that in the middle of every storm, of any storm, when the winds blow, when the rains come, when the stream rises, no matter the severity of the storm, what we have built will stand if our foundation is Jesus. What an incredible promise. Again, the challenge is this. If you're a person of peace, realizing that everything you have built will stand because it's built upon Jesus, then be a person of peace as well. Be a peacemaker in the middle of a moment of crisis and chaos, and that will show where your foundation truly is. God bless you all. Look forward to seeing you again next.